Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. What was the reason that the Prophet ﷺ did not burn the houses for? Because he feared that there might be women and children in their houses. And from this hadith and other evidences, scholars concluded that praying in congregation is a must. Because the Prophet ﷺ never threatened to burn the houses of people who did not pray duha prayer, or who did not offer voluntary prayer, or who did not offer night prayer and witr. Why? Because these are all voluntary. Yet this thing, burning their houses, indicates that it is mandatory for men to attend the prayer in or with the congregation. Are there any more evidences? A lot. Among them, the hadith where a blind man comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's in the Sahih. And he says, O Prophet of Allah, my house is distant. It's far away from the masjid. And I'm blind. And I don't have a leader or a guide man suitable for me to take me to the masjid. And in some narrations, the Medina is a place where there are lots of insects and animals and snakes, etc. So is there any excuse for me not to attend the jama'ah, not to attend the congregation? The Prophet said yes, alayhi salatu wasalam. And as the man was leaving, he said, come back, come back, come back. What did you say? So the man repeated his inquiry, his request not to attend the salah. Then the Prophet asked him one question. Do you hear the adhan? And the man said, yes. So the Prophet said, answer it, you have no excuse. So if this is for a man who is what? Who's blind. And the Prophet gave him no excuse, then what excuse do we have on the Day of Judgment? One might say, I don't hear the adhan. Why don't you hear the adhan? Is because I live in a concrete house with double glazed windows and air conditioning on and the TV is on. So even if my father is shouting outside of the house, I would not hear him. Is this a legitimate excuse? The answer is no. Callers say the determining factor in answering the call of the adhan, in answering the muadhin, is that the distance is approximately between 3 to 5 kilometers. What do you mean? They say, what is the distance that the voice of a strong man on top of a building in an open area, at least not with concrete structures, in an open area without any exterior noise, such as cars and factories and planes, etc. How much is the distance? How long? How far is it for his voice to reach? So they said that it's approximately the diameter of 3 to 5 kilometers. Maybe less, maybe more. So the scholars say, if you live in an area where the masjid is this far from you, it is mandatory for you to go and answer the call of salat. I give you an example. In some countries, for European countries, well, not some, most, well, this is an understatement, all European countries, you cannot call the adhan using loudspeakers. So you might have the masjid next door to you, but because the muadhin is inside, and because it's a concrete building, and you live in a concrete place with all the heating, with all the air conditioning, can you hear him if he calls the adhan? So is it mandatory for me to attend? Yes, it is. Because the distance is less than 3 to 5 kilometers. So the scholars say it depends on the distance, not on the sound reaching you. And by this, we learn that it is mandatory for you to attend the prayer wherever you are in the vicinity of a masjid. And if you do not, then this is one of the characteristics of hypocrites that you should fear not to be with. Also in this hadith, we learn that Salatul Fajri and Salatul Isha are one of the most important prayers in our day and night. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that whoever prays Isha in congregation, Allah would reward him as if he prayed half of the night. Imagine praying in Isha, 10 minutes, Allah would give you half of the night, which is about 4.5 hours, as if you prayed voluntary prayers. And if you pray Fajr, Allah would reward you as if you had prayed the full night. And this is every night. And with the grace of Allah, I know a lot of you, mashallah, pray the 5 prayers in the masjid, and this is a blessing of Allah. Unfortunately, I know that also there are people who miss prayers. So many times I ask my friends and loved ones and those whom yani respect me, and I say, mashallah, how many times did you miss Fajr this month? And he said, I prayed it twice only. In 28 days I slept. Subhanallah, is this a Muslim? And some of them, they would say, mashallah, I only missed once or twice Fajr. And some, mashallah, would say, it's been like 1.5 or 2 years since I last slept. It's a blessing. Those who do not miss any prayer, definitely they will be among the favored and blessed ones on the Day of Judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Before moving on to the following hadith, do we have any questions? MashaAllah, Tabarakallah.
Arshid. Sheikh, the place where I stay right now, there are 2 masajid. And in those masajid, they usually invoke Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say, Ya Rasulullah, and they do a lot of bid'ah, and maybe shirk, and even wear charms, stuff like that. So is it better for me to go to that masjid for the prayers, or should I stay at home and offer salah at home?
If the person who's leading the prayer is a kafir, then you cannot pray behind him. And to label someone as a kafir is not an easy thing. But if you know for certain that this man says that Allah is everywhere, Ya akhi, this is not permissible. Allah Azza wa Jal is on his throne on the 7th heaven. No, Allah is everywhere. Even under the table, even in here, astaghfirullah. This is kufr. You cannot pray behind this man. If you know someone who says the Prophet ﷺ controls everything, and he has the ability to give you goodness and benefit you, and he has the ability to protect you from harm, this is kafir. Because this is only something that Allah is able to do. If someone deals in black magic, in sorcery, and he claims that he knows the future, this is kufr, blasphemy. This is major kufr that takes the person out of the fold of Islam. But if a person has innovations, they're wrong, they're major sins, but they're innovations that do not nullify his prayer, you may pray with him if there is no other alternative. This is better than praying alone without being with the congregation. As a Muslims, we have to stick together. As long as he's a Muslim, pray behind him, and also try to advise him every now and then. The brother there, second row.
In my vicinity, there are 2 masajids. The masjid which is adjacent to my house, they are not following the Quran and the Sunnah completely. And the other masjid, which is a bit farther from my house, they are completely following the Quran and the Hadith. So how do I convince a person who lives in my building? How do I convince a person in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah to attend the second masjid that is a bit farther from the house? How do I convince him with the proof of the Hadith?
As mentioned before, if the first masjid closest to your house, they're Muslims but innovative, meaning they're Ahlul Bid'ah, then their prayer behind them is accepted. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, used to pray behind who? Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. What did Al-Hajjaj do? He killed Abdullah ibn Zubair, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father. He killed Sa'id ibn Jubair. He killed hundreds of the Tabi'een. Yet he prayed behind him. So if he prays in that masjid, it's permissible as long as the Imam is Muslim. But we always add value to enlarging those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah, those of people who are on the right track. So we would like to enlarge their number by always praying there. And it's better for my heart and it's better for my knowledge as well.
Sheikh, the hadith which you mentioned about Abu Huraira, when said this hadith to many people, I mean, try to explain that namaz, salah is fard in masjid. When we try to say that salah is fard in masjid, you have to go, it is mandatory, as you explained. So many people, they refer that this hadith where the Prophet said he liked to burn the house of people who are not coming to the masjid, it is referring to Jummah. It is not about the five obligatory prayers. It is referring to Jummah. So I would like you to just clear this.
This is wrong because there are two separate narrations. One, that it is in Jummah, and the other one we just read is Jama'ah, the congregation. So their allegation is not correct, because the Prophet ﷺ is strictly indicated this, and the hadith of the blind man is clear evidence. The hadith of the blind man, the Prophet told him, do you hear the adhan? He said, yes, then I have no excuse for you, or you have no excuse not to attend the prayer, is clear as crystal, as they say, because it's black and white. A blind man, you must come. So what about those who are not blind? I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.